Welcome to the HR Like a Boss podcast. Join John Bernatovich as he embarks on a journey to get to know amazingly awesome HR and business professionals to understand what it takes to do HR like a boss. Each week, John chats with professionals with a wealth of knowledge and practical experience to help you tackle HR's biggest challenges. If you enjoy the show, don't forget to subscribe, hit the 5-star rating, and share it with your HR friends. John is a father, husband, competitive golfer, author of HR Like a Boss, and founder of Willery, a professional services firm dedicated to HR and payroll technology and people. He is devoted to transforming the workplace by empowering the HR and payroll communities to navigate their ever-evolving business landscape with ownership and passion. You're listening to the HR Like a Boss podcast, hosted by John Bernatovich.
Welcome again to another episode of the HR Like a Boss podcast. I'm your host, John Bernatovich. I have been waiting for this episode for 4 seasons. Megan Hensley has agreed finally to be on the HR Like a Boss podcast. If you know anything about SHRM in our local Ohio region or anything about amazingly awesome HR leaders, I'm sure Megan Hensley comes immediately to mind. So Megan, welcome to the show.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me. And it's my pleasure to be here today.
Awesome. All right. So I'm sure there's probably one person out there listening. That's it. Just one that's listening right now that doesn't know who you are, hasn't met you at Ohio SHRM or throughout all of your volunteerism that you do and your amazingly awesome HR. So Megan, please tell the HR Like a Boss community a little bit about yourself, what your passions are and what you're into these days.
Awesome. Yeah. So I've been in HR for almost 20 years now. I started here in Cincinnati. I am a Cincinnati native, so go Bengals. But I know that I've been a formerly GECRA member now since SHRM. I am on the board for membership there and have been for, this is now my 2nd year. And then I had joined the Ohio State HR conference, which started in Sandusky, moved to Columbus, and then I brought it back to Sandusky when it was my year to chair. I've been on that conference committee now for about 8 years. I'm typically the gal that's there to mix people up and sometimes even break boundaries. I was the 50th anniversary chair. I was the one who showed up in a ball gown on stage. It was very purposeful and intentional, I promise. And so for me, HR is really, I fell into it, but interestingly enough, I have 2 sisters who are both also in HR. And so I think it's in my bloodline. I can't swear for sure, but we all joke about how random that is that all 3 of us are in human resources. So I love what I do. I'm definitely great at the extroversion side of things. Doesn't mean you cannot be an introvert in HR because you absolutely can. But I've just really enjoyed mentoring and coaching other HR professionals for a very long time. I've been passionate about that through Xavier and UC. And then also continuing to just spread the word about HR is a partner and the myths around HR. So we're not Toby from The Office and we're definitely there to be a great partner. But sometimes you have to think a little differently and you have to get out of your own comfort zone to being that wonderful partner in HR.
All right. So I got to ask the lineage here, the grandparents, great uncles, aunts, uncles, siblings, and siblings, you already said parents, like where is there some form of connection? Somebody was in personnel years ago. Is it there somewhere, Megan, or you haven't figured that out yet?
I think it's the work ethic. So we are a strong bloodline in military families. My sister, myself, my brother, we're all first year college graduates in our family. So everyone, male-wise, at least went into the military. My mom was in customer service at UPS. She was always a rule follower. So I don't know if it's the Catholic nature. I don't know if it's the military nature or just what we were taught, but it was to have a strong work ethic and to, you know, be a rule follower. Now, certainly I believe HR is a lot of gray matter. Starting early in my career, I was very much that black and white HR leader. Well, the handbook says you clock in at this time at this workstation, you have to do it. And obviously I've learned from the errors of my earlier ways, but certainly I think, you know, it's just one of those things that was ingrained into me, but I was also highly ingrained to care for others and be respectful of others and be kind and that everyone deserved an equal fair shot at things. So I think that's also a lot of where my passion lied. And some company just happened to put me in a co-op and said, you should do HR. And I had no idea what it was. And it just stuck. And I had no idea my older sister was doing the same thing at her university at one time. And then our baby sister just kind of followed our steps. So it just worked out.
Now at holiday dinners or when you're all together, do you talk shop about other HR related issues and then family members tell you just to stop talking about HR, or do you draw the line? Is it something that you separate your business with your personal time?
It's a great question. So my older sister and I do, we definitely like to talk a little bit of HR shop. I will say that there have been times where I talk about it with my in-laws, especially when it comes to supporting LGBTQ plus team members, or also team members in all spaces of diversity, including persons of color. And there have been times where there's gotten some heated conversations, especially around the transgender topic, which I'm particularly passionate about. And so it has been certainly interesting just to talk about, you know, the one thing that I connect everything back to is just being respectful as a person and creating a sense of belonging. And usually they can get behind that, but it's been interesting to say the least.
Yeah, no, I get it. Totally understand. Well, let's make sure if you ever have any major HR related issues, find your way into Megan and her family's Thanksgiving or holiday dinner so you can ask a question and then break some bread. I'm sure that would be a fun experience for everyone. Maybe the in-laws might be like, oh my gosh, she can't get enough of this stuff. Right. All right. So Megan, I always ask every guest after they do their introduction, we have a little back and forth. Please tell me what you think the purpose of human resources. How would you describe that?
Good question. I think a lot of our purpose is really just to be the liaison between the business needs, the team member needs, and the organization as a whole, is helping people troubleshoot challenges, take down roadblocks, and making sure that the employees have a great experience. I mean, ultimately, we can't please every person. I definitely have learned that. But I think it is important that every team member feels like they have a voice, that they have somebody that's there to listen and guide them, and also understands like what are their true expectations. We so often, have these policies, procedures, but really do team members understand them, and are they best supporting the evolving workforce? So it's really just being that holistic business partner that understands what's going on in the business, what's going on in the world today, what are the team members' wants and needs, and how do you marry that all together?
Yeah, no, I think it's one of the really cool parts about writing the book and what came to be this idea of that alignment between employees, your business, the community, that's even expanding beyond in other areas of things that impact from a business perspective. And that's what makes HR so amazing, but also wildly so difficult and challenging, because you're serving so many air quote kings or people that you're responsible to. And it's like, who do I decide this is going to win this debate? And that's why you have to find that political balance, that marriage, that alignment that really can drive the results that you're looking for, because it won't always be in the best interest of your employees or won't always be in the best interest of your organization, every decision that you make. And it's certainly challenging, and at the same time, a hell of a lot of fun when you do it the right way.
Yeah, for sure. And it's tricky because I think that team members often feel like if HR doesn't advocate for me, if I don't win whatever this battle is, that they don't care. And I think it's really about helping everybody to understand, give the why. That's always my biggest thing. And that helps team members to gravitate. It's, I'll give you the why and I will be a transparent. But transparency doesn't always mean like fully giving all the details. I always tell people sometimes honesty has to come before transparency. So if you come to me and you want to know the nitty gritty that happened, or why this person's no longer at the organization, or why they were terminated, I'm going to be honest with you of what I can share and what I can't share, but I can't be fully transparent on somebody else's privacy. So it's that balance of things, but also helping people to understand why we operate, and then tie it back to your company values. If your company values don't actually really mean anything, and you're not going back to, well, this is what our value says, so is this right? Is this what we're going to do? Some companies don't do a great job of really living those values or really bringing them to life or pulling them into the play.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. That's the foundational items that makes the job a lot easier, in my opinion, when they're there and they're the guideposts, they're the rules to follow, so to speak. They're the we hire to and fire to and all things in between. But you had mentioned, Megan, in your conversations of something you're super passionate about, you had these discussions with your in-laws. We won't go into the intimate details of that. You don't have to be overly transparent about that, because I don't want to get you in trouble. I want your in-laws to still love you, which I'm sure they will. But you talked a little bit about pre-show, this idea of belonging and respect in a workplace, something you're super passionate about. Tell me how you became so passionate about it, what it means to you, and then how can companies ensure that they're having respectful and belonging workplaces?
Yeah. So I could talk about belonging and respect for such a long time, but for the Cliff Note version of today, I would say that a lot of it has to be something that you recognize is what should start and end all of your conversations is how do you show up for people in the right way of respect? It is that golden rule, right? Treat others as you wish to be treated, I think was instilled in me for a long time. And I know that's easier said than done sometimes. I used to use the example when my boss would say, we take the high road, Megan. And I love this boss. And I was like, dude, I want to go under the bridge through the mud. Like I want to take the lowest road possible in this scenario. And he would always say, no, you're a class act, Megan. You're going to take that high road. And I'm like, okay. But it comes up because we're human. And in HR, we are absolutely human. We're free to have emotions, but sometimes our biases come out. And it's a bias that we don't like that team member. We don't like their work ethic. We don't like the way they look. We don't like the way they talk. We don't like their personal political beliefs. You name it, there's a bias that can come up. But I think when you center yourself around belonging, as an HR leader, your job is not to necessarily have a personal opinion about the individuals. It's about to say, my job is here to be customer oriented. These are our customers. Our job is to focus on making sure that they feel included when they come here. So you think about the party when your 7-year-old self or your first freshman year of high school, you go and you're not invited and how that felt, right? Or that moment where you walk up to a group of people that are adults and they stop talking and how that felt. That's what happens to our team members day in and day out. They feel like they are left off the conversation or they're not included or they're not valued or they're not appreciated. Not always just by HR, but it can be by colleagues. It can be by other leaders. It can be by the rules of what the organization creates. By understanding that you want to be respectful and create a sense of belonging as best as you can to wherein that person feels embraced, you will increase your retention. You'll increase your diversity, equity, inclusion. You're also going to increase your employee morale. And essentially, and I know WorkHuman has done studies on this. I know there's been a variety of studies that I've researched around this. And it really talks about how diversity, equity, and inclusion cannot thrive and live if you do not first create a culture of belonging. If your executive leaders or your directors or your frontline team members are non-inclusive individuals because they don't care about being respectful or creating a sense of belonging and welcoming new hires in, welcoming the existing staff, and it can be completely unrelated to the job. It can be based on biases. It can be based on race, gender, ethnicity, or just that sometimes there's cliques in your workforce. But how you break that down and how you ensure that team members understand and appreciate everyone has a place here and everyone is value add, then you start to create such a momentum in your culture and everything else can thrive and team members can feel really valued and appreciated to the point where they're not necessarily running out the door for the extra 50 cents an hour or dollar or salary raise, but that they really feel at home in the organization.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. You reminded me of a story. I was in eighth grade, moved to our new school, didn't know one person. I went to lunch on the very first day, November 1st, 1987. So I'm dating myself. I'm in eighth grade. Mm-hmm. I go to lunch. There's nobody in there because I didn't know anyone. So I didn't talk to me in the hallways or anything else. I just sat at a table and my mom had made me a lunch. I didn't have to wait in line. And turns out I sat at the most popular kids' table. I was at their table and the leader of that group came and started asking me all kinds of questions, put his arm around me. Hey, how you doing? Welcome to school. What are you into? This, that, and the other. And he made my transition into that workplace, my school, so much easier because he also could have done the exact opposite and taken me in the bathroom and kicked me or fought me or done terrible things. I'll never forget him. I always appreciated him. It made my life at that school so much easier, and I totally get it. I think it's so important that people do that. I love the foundational item of belonging in your DEI strategy. Mm-hmm. There's more that Megan's going to share after our commercial break, and how did she become so brilliant in HR and advance her career? Hold tight for 1 second as we go to this commercial.
Today's episode is brought to you by Willery, your trusted partner in solving HR and payroll challenges. Are you struggling to fill HR and payroll, those talent gaps in your organization? Worried about getting a return on your investment in HR and payroll technology? With Willery by your side, you'll solve these problems. At Willery, your challenges are their priorities. They're passionate about empowering people by ensuring the right people and the right technology are in place for HR and payroll. There's no workforce problem too small or too big for Willery. Their team can help you bridge those staffing talent gaps and ensure you see a substantial ROI on your HR and payroll investments. Don't let HR and payroll issues hold you back. Visit Willery.com today and empower your workforce. That's Willery, your HR and payroll problem solvers.
All right, I'm back with Megan Hensley. What a delight so far. I know all of you are waiting at the edge of your seat to kind of understand. So how did she develop her career? How can others learn from her experience? I know if she has the gumption to wear a ballroom dress to in front of almost 1,000 people at Ohio Sherm, if you add everybody up, to do that and have that type of confidence. I'm sure there's a lot there to the foundational items that you mentioned. Megan, share with the HR Like a Boss audience how you have and how you recommend others can develop their career in human resources.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a few things that I always call the successful sauce of advancing your career. One is making sure that you are never too big for any job. So making sure that you are comfortable doing things and always looking for jobs that may not be the most fitting that you think are the sexy jobs, if you will. When I was interning, I interned for Procter & Gamble, Target, and Lowe's Home Centers. All three of them offered me jobs upon graduation. Target, it was to be the customer service manager, not exactly what I wanted to do. Procter & Gamble was to be executive admin for someone, not what I wanted to do. Lowe's Home Centers said, we're going to put you through our HR leadership training program and you're going to open up a store for us that was right in my neighborhood if you are willing to help open another store while you interned. Lowe's Home Centers, if you know anything about me, people would be like, what? But I loved it. It was great. It was super exciting. They trained me. They put me through boot camp. It was amazing. And it kickstarted my career. And my next job after that was Saks Fifth Avenue. Still retail, but definitely very different, right? And then I kept going from there. And what I found was I learned so much about myself, but I also learned about other companies. And that exponential learning that I got was different ways of doing things, different walks of life of individuals, and just learning different processes. And through that, I was able to grow my knowledge. I became a director at the age of 26. I opened my first casino at the age of 28. And then I became a vice president at the age of 30. And so for me, it was all about taking chances and learning how to just say yes when opportunities came up and never trying to say, well, I really want to just be a P&G executive, because that's a real thing in Cincinnati. And no knock on P&G, they're amazing, but their structure probably wouldn't have been the best fit for me. And so that is just finding ways to say yes and taking those chances on the unknown. The other thing is know your personal brand and stick to it. I have always been taught by my parents is you dress for the job you want, not the job you have. I do it on a budget. Don't trust me. I was a savvy spender when I was at a young age. We were not a super wealthy family whatsoever. My parents valued education. So that's where our money went. And so for me, it was about just how do you present yourself and how do you present your personal brand? And I teach class on that for students and for employees all the time. It's like, what is your personal brand and what do you want it to say about you? That's kind of where the ball gown thing came from, is everyone always said, Megan dresses like she's always wears a ball gown wherever she goes. And I'm like, no, I don't. Like, and so I jokingly said, I'm going to show up when I finally lead conference, I'm going to show up in a ball gown. They're like, oh, that's fantastic. And my theme was a masquerade ball. So I was like, showing up in a ball gown every chance I get. And people thought it was so funny, but I helped at the end of conference for people to understand who I was and why that was part of my brand. So definitely saying yes to chances, definitely saying yes to your personal brand, and then finding mentor opportunities, helping other people and networking and getting out there. It's not easy. I have three kids. I get it. I have spoken during the pandemic. I got to do the Disrupt HR and I was mom hard, because it is hard. Ladies and gentlemen, being a parent is hard. I work at a parenting center now. It is so hard. But I think when you are willing to network with people, you can lean on people to understand your woes, share advice, and even just connect. And the reason I got the amazing job I have today, after I was on the road for like 204 days a year, was because my friend Karen had referred me. She's like, you should really look at this company. And I was like, not I want to do a nonprofit. It has been the best blessing that I've ever had in my life, was to work where I am and how much they support me to do things like this and join John, or even just to be involved in the different boards that I'm in. So I will say, like, find your network, find your friends of HR, and you will really have just great support and people that are there to lift you up and be a supporter. Do not be a mean girl, a mean boy. Do not be someone that puts people down. Do not go out there and, you know, definitely have firm boundaries. And it's okay to sometimes disconnect from people if they are not the right fit in your life, but definitely don't be someone that puts other people down. Lift people up, not down.
Yeah, so well said, and I really appreciate that. So it's so important to make sure that you're intentional about who you are and how you want to be perceived and what people think of you, and really work incredibly hard at that and be true to yourself. I think that's really, really smart. All right, Megan, last question. I get all podcast guests out of the show. You know, this is the HR Like a Boss podcast. I wrote a book called HR Like a Boss. We have the HR Like a Boss community. So I have to ask you, how would you describe someone that does HR like a boss?
Absolutely. I think it's really just, again, it's about being true to yourself. It's about caring for the individuals that you're working with. And I think being an HR boss is also not trying to mimic someone else. Be true to your brand, be true to who you are as a person, but truly be there for the people. I've seen a lot of HR people sometimes that are not necessarily what I would say, they're personnel leaders, right? And they sit in the office and they do the paper pushing or they do the typing. Certainly I sit in an office and I do paper pushing and typing, but I think it's about being welcoming and embracing and really knowing to change with the way that the workforce is changing. And that is hard. It is very hard, my friends. But if you're not willing to advance yourself in your career in HR and continue to learn and grow, then it's going to get really tricky for you because the workforce is changing. The pandemic taught us anything. They taught us that you have to know how to pivot and change your game and be open to new ideas and fresh perspectives and being there for others. And so HR like a boss means you have to be willing to get out of your comfort zone and really shift that knowledge base to continue to grow and advance for the workforce that's ever advancing.
I have this thought process about when I go to a Cleveland Cavaliers basketball game, I know that they've spent hundreds of people, spent thousands of hours and millions of dollars on fan experience when I go to the game to make sure that I enjoy my time there.
Yeah.
I want to have the same type of concept within HR about how employees have an experience at work. Because that's in essence what life becomes. The older that you get, you care less about the things you have, the nice clothes or car that you drive. It's about the experiences that you have that you enjoy, and you'll do those things for free or much less than you would most other things. I think the experience at work is really a transformative idea. And I'm sure the people at your organization are having a great time. If not, they know they have someone they can talk to make it right and take down some of those roadblocks. That was the first point I wanted to make in my recap. There were so many points that Megan made. My list, my piece of paper is like full of pen marks and there's no white space on it. So take down those roadblocks from an HR perspective. Make sure that you're marrying up the business to your people. Make sure that your team members have a great experience. And I mentioned that before. Show up to work with respect. Make sure that you're bringing respect and belonging. And belonging becomes a foundation for your DEI strategy. And you said something that really stuck with me, Megan. This is about being a pro's pro. Avoid the personal opinions on matters that may not align with what you think, do, or agree with. Mm-hmm. As far as advancing your career, take those chances. Say yes when opportunities are presented to themselves. And be very intentional about how your personal brand is being presented. There's so many other items I could have shared, Megan, but it would have made the show at least an hour long. I really am so thankful that you finally came and said yes to being on the HR Like a Boss podcast. It was a total honor. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much. It's my pleasure. Thanks, John.
Thanks for checking out the HR Like a Boss podcast. If you've enjoyed today's conversation, you're in for a treat with the book, HR Like a Boss. It's filled with more stories and valuable insights that can truly impact your HR career. The journey doesn't end here. Visit www.hrlikeaboss.com. to join the largest community of amazingly awesome human resources professionals who are committed to doing HR like a boss. Stay connected with us on social media and don't forget to hit that subscribe button, rate, and review. Your feedback helps us deliver content that matters to you. Reach out to join directly at john@willery.com. Until next time, let's continue to aspire to do amazingly awesome HR.